You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Let me just remind you of something this morning. If you are standing here with us, if you are in this room, God is good. Right? If you went to bed last night and you put different clothes on to sleep in, you've got it good. Right? If you had a chance to choose this morning what you wore and you looked in the mirror a few times, and you asked each other if this looked good or not, you've got it way too good, right? So no matter what season you're in life, no matter how troubling things are, no matter how difficult things become, we serve a God who has never failed us, and he never will. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's pray as we open the scriptures. God, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you, Lord, that you have carried us through, God, that you've made a way through the wilderness, God, that you have parted the sea, God, that you have moved mountains on our behalf, God. And Lord, we thank you that you had enough love for us that you came and you sent your son to be with us. And God, you gave us yourself, but God, not only that, but God, you gave us each other. And God, we thank you, Lord, for the people in this room, God, for the people that you have brought together under your name, Lord, that so we can move together into the future, God, not alone, but together. And so, God, we thank you for this community. We thank you for this church. We thank you for the big church, God, for everybody who is bringing about your kingdom on this earth. Lord, we give you this morning. We pray that you'd speak to us in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can have a seat. How are you guys? You guys need to wake up this morning because I'm pumped up and I need your help. Can you help me preach this sermon this morning? All right, let's hear it. It's good. If we've never met, my name's Derek and I'm so glad that we get to be together. I am reminded every single morning when we gather here that this is a gift. That what we get to do when we come together, that what we get to do week in and week out is we get to experience and participate in a gift. God has given us each other. He has given us humanity and the church so that we could navigate life together. If you're new with us, this is our second official week as Makers Church. Can we give that a round of applause? And if you've been with us for a while, like Braden said this morning, we go back 7 years. We've been a community fumbling and tripping all over ourselves, trying to figure out what it means to be the church. We're going to continue to do the same thing for the as long as we can. We were Mosaic San Diego for 7 years, and just 2-3 weeks ago, we kind of spun off and relaunched as Makers Church. And so we've been spending the last couple weeks talking about who we are. What are the things that kind of define us, the things that we hold close and dear to us. And so if you were with us last week, we talked about one of our core values is that we are generative, that we are made in the image of God, that God is the maker of all things, and therefore, if we are made in God's image, then we too are made to make, that we are makers, that we, with our lives, are generative, that we are bringing about, we are making, creating, shifting, shaping humanity, shaping lives, creating good things. And if you weren't here, we'd love for you to go back and listen if you're interested and curious to kind of catch up to where we are. But this morning, we're talking about what it means to be communal. And our little statement says that we believe people matter most, right? We believe people matter most. We believe that God created people, we matter most. It says that God created us as the highest beings of all of the things he's created, that God has entrusted us with much, and because we matter so much to God, we believe that we should matter equally as much to each other, that people matter most, that everything we do as a church as we shape the future will be about helping you live your best life, right? We believe that our diversity and choosing unity is much more better than uniformity or even division. And we're going to step into this morning about what it means for us to be communal. But I think before we get into all of that, I think we need to address the need, the desire that each and every one of us have in our own heart, right? Is we were created by God to not only need him, but to need each other. In Genesis chapter 2, it says that God said it is not good for man to be alone. And so out of the makeup of Adam, he created Eve, and he says, this is good for you to have each other. And I know you single people are like, amen, take my rib, just bring me somebody. Right? But the metaphor, the narrative of what God is saying is that he created us not only to have this relationship with himself, but we are God-made, God-designed to have a need to be connected with each other. Right? So we have this intrinsic need to be connected both vertically to God and horizontally to each other. And the reality is that you and me, we will spend the rest of our lives trying to figure this out. We will spend the rest of our lives trying to belong, trying to find acceptance, trying to find approval, trying to find people who will bring us in and celebrate us. And we'll go to all sorts of crazy places to get it. In fact, some of you have an iPhone 7, which is like this big. And this is like where you go to find your acceptance. You wake up in the morning, and I say you, I mean we. Wake up in the morning, and the first thing we check is how many likes did we get on that post we put up? How many friends do I have? But we all know that no matter how many Facebook friends you have, it doesn't really translate to how many real friends you have. No matter how many likes or followers you have, it does not translate to how much acceptance or true approval that you find. The satisfaction that we are searching for, it can haunt us. It's because at the end of the day, the worst possible place we can be in our life is to be lonely. That loneliness is the plague of our existence. And because we don't quite understand that God designed us for both a vertical and a horizontal relationship, many times we will find ourselves searching for it in one of those arenas, but very, very seldomly do those intersect each other. See, there are times and moments in our lives where we get so lonely and we feel like, all I need is God. Jesus, I just need you. We even write songs about it. All I need is Jesus. It isn't true. See, Jesus, we need. But we also need each other. And there's this passage that I want to step into. There's this story that actually takes place on Easter Sunday. It actually happens after they discover that Jesus is missing from the tomb. And by the way, if we didn't tell you yet, next Sunday's Easter. And we're excited. We hope that you come and that you celebrate with us, that you bring your friends and family. We're going to celebrate big. We're going to talk more about all that God did on that day. But what we're going to step into this morning, it happens exactly the day that they discovered Jesus is missing from the tomb. And it says two friends, Cleopas and an unnamed friend, are traveling to Emmaus. They are on a road to a place that is really insignificant, and they are leaving dejected, defeated, deflated because of what has just happened. Their person that they had put their hope in, named Jesus, they believed was the Messiah. And you have to understand, the Jewish people at this time, they were trying to sing this song. God, we've seen you part the Red Seas. We've seen you move mountains. We've seen you provide a way through the wilderness. We saw you do it for our ancestors. We thought you were going to do it again, but you just killed our Savior. Jesus has died. They believed he was the Messiah, the deliverer, the one that would liberate them from the rule of the Roman Empire. They had become enslaved once again as a people, and their hope has now left them. And they're leaving on this road, and they're traveling down, and the scriptures say that while they're walking side by side, that Jesus shows up there with him, but they do not recognize him. So they're just walking down the road, and all of a sudden, somebody random shows up. And if you've ever been into like a desert place, in fact, a few friends of ours, we've actually been to Israel, we've been to Jerusalem, and the city's cool, but once you leave the city, there's nothing. And so you imagine they've left the city, and all of a sudden a stranger shows up. It's Jesus, their Messiah, the one who they are bummed that is dead now, but they don't recognize him. It says they don't recognize him. God is standing right in front of them. The resurrected Messiah, Jesus himself, is walking with them, and they are so concerned, so troubled with their set of circumstances in life that they actually miss that God is among them. And I wonder how many times that's true for us. How many times the circumstances of our life, the things that are troubling us, the things that are getting at us or in us, the things that are coming out of us are covering, they're eclipsing, they're masking the proof of God with us. Jesus is standing there. The scriptures say that God resides in us. Yet we miss it all the time like these two. Walking down this road, it picks up in in Luke 24, 28, it says, I want to emphasize something. It's going to be annoying, but I'm going to do it. Listen to this. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. I love this. Like, Jesus knows exactly what's up. He knows, and he'd be like, no, wait, stay with us. But he just keeps on strolling, waiting for the invitation. And they're like, wait, wait, wait. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over. So he's like, all right, I guess I'll stay. And he stays with them. It says, when he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Did you see a theme? See that when God showed up with them, it was with them. I wonder how many times we go looking for God in our solitude and in our own places, and we're going, God, would you show up? And we have no bearing. We have no significance to understand whether or not it is God or our crazy mind, whether it's God or our creativity, whether it's God or this or that. But when they are together and God shows up, it says that they discovered it was Jesus after they talked about it with each other. That Jesus showed up not to him, but to them. That God shows up, that we can see God, we can experience God, we can sense God more appropriately when we are together. See, because when it's alone, it's just strange. No, I'm not saying that God doesn't show up in those quiet moments, that God doesn't show up in those strange places, but it takes us together going, I think this is God. And sometimes it takes a friend going, no, you're just crazy. But I love that Jesus showed up to them. The revelation that it was Jesus didn't come. He broke bread. It says they thought it was Jesus. But they got up and returned to Jerusalem, where they found 11 of those with them, and they assembled together. It says, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road? We're not our hearts burning. There are moments when God is moving inside of us, but we don't know what to make of it. And it requires us leaning into each other to understand it. This passage is a bit creepy to me because it's actually the exact same way that Jesus showed up to me. I'll never forget it. I was in eighth grade and my brother followed a girl to church. Tiny little church in a tiny little town. He was chasing after a girl. God grabbed a hold of his life. He came home, was different. I said, what's different? He said, this thing called Jesus. And I skateboarded to the church with my buddy, Justin. We walked into this church on a Wednesday. Tiny little church in a tiny little town. And we walked forward. They were doing this drama practice. It was so cool. And this random lady who I had never met hugged me. That was it. Simple. An embrace from another human being. And something shifted in my soul. And it freaked me out. And I walked out to the front of the church with my buddy Justin. And I basically repeated these words. I'd never read the Bible. I basically said, we're not our hearts burning within us. I said, dude, I don't know what happened in there. But something is happening here. And he goes, me too. And I'm like, this is weird. And we went back inside to that little tiny church and we said, I don't know what happened, but when you hugged me, something shifted inside of me. And this drama mama, the pastor's wife who led this drama ministry, said, that's Jesus. And I was like, that's so weird. But I need that. And right then and there, she presented the gospel to me. And I wish I could say like it was this aha moment, but I just came back. Nothing happened in me that moment. Like I didn't like say the Lord's Prayer, say a sinner's prayer, do anything like that. I just came back because I found a home there. I found a people to belong to, a place to connect. And my life was changed forever because of what Jesus did through those people. See, we can get to this place in our spiritual journeys. If you've ever connected to Jesus, you'll get here real quick. Right? There's a moment in life when you know you need each other, and although relationships are the most clumsy, fumbly thing that we've ever been in, we still keep pursuing them because we know we need them, until you meet Jesus. And then you meet Jesus and you're like, yeah, Jesus, me and you, high five. Forget all of them. They're messy. I like you. And we just could retreat into these places where it's just all I need is Jesus. It's just about me and God. We pretend like our faith is supposed to be this incredibly private and personal thing. No, our faith is a personal thing. It is not a private thing. Our faith is meant to be a public faith that we are living out with each other. And so I love that Jesus is showing up to them on the road to Emmaus, but only not only there, Jesus shows us like even he needed a team. Even he needed like a crew, a posse. He had squad goals, you know, hashtag squad goals. Like Jesus was the God of the universe that stepped into human history in flesh and blood. He could have done whatever he'd done. He could have called a legion of angels. He could have done all sorts of crazy things, but he said, no, I'm going to roll deep with 12. And he just said, follow me. And they followed him around for 3 years. Jesus himself even needed a team. And I think sometimes we forget that. That we are God-designed, God-wired to both need a vertical relationship with God and deep, meaningful, horizontal relationships with each other. And it's where they intersect that we find our meaning, purpose, and satisfaction. See, I love that it makes a cross. That when we see a cross, it should not only remind us of the death that Jesus died for us, but it should remind us of the way we are meant to relate to God and to each other. Every time you see a cross from this day forward, I want you to be reminded that it's at the intersection of that cross where you are meant to be, where you are meant to live, where you are meant to thrive and become fully alive, that we are meant to be deeply connected to God and deeply connected with each other. And unless we have one and not the other, we will not be fully alive. If we can find both, if we can intersect in that place, we will come fully alive. We are meant to be communal. We are meant to commune with each other, and we are meant to commune with God. In John chapter 13, 34, Jesus says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Jesus gives us a commandment. He gives us the most important thing. In other spaces and other things, Jesus says, what's the most important thing? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. You actually cannot live out the commandment of God without each other. We are the test subjects. We are the ones who we practice on. You actually cannot fulfill the command God has given you if not for each other. And it says, by the way, when you do it, when you succeed, it will be the evidence of God. It will be proof that you are changed. Proof that you have received love, because you cannot give love until you receive love. And if you've tried to give love when you've never received love, you know how difficult and impossible it is. Because love is not the way you feel about someone. Love is the way you act towards someone. It is that choice that you make. It is the decision point that Braden talked about earlier. We get to choose how we live our lives and what we do with each other. And the scriptures say it is by your love. It's not just through your words that you share the gospel. It's not just through your words that you give evidence that God is real. It's by the way you love each other. It would be the best sign, the best symbol, the best proof that God has done something in you. But unfortunately, there's so much division in this world. Not just in the world. It's easy to go, the world's so divided. Or you could look at our country and you could go, it's the worst time in history. Did you take history class? We were talking at work the other day. We're like, remember Encyclopedia Britannicas? We had like bookshelves full of encyclopedias, full of horrible history. Yet this is the worst time it's ever been. The world is so divided. Our country is so divided. But you know what the most disheartening thing is? Is that the church is divided. The most disheartening thing is that there are children of God, people who are trying to please God, trying to serve God, trying to be connected with God, and they're going this way only. And they're going, Jesus, it's all about me. It's all about the way I understand you, the way we understand you, the way I think you work. And unless people get in line with this. They are not part of us. It brings us all of this division. And when we say at Maker's Church that we are communal, we don't just mean that we sing kumbaya and we're happy with each other. We mean that we are locked arms in solidarity with every other church under the name of Jesus around the world. That we believe that God is changing the earth, changing human history through this thing called the church. We are just a tiny part of it. We are playing our part. We are doing our thing, but we are locked arms in solidarity with every church under the name of Jesus. And we think that being divided is something unique to our times. But before the church was even church, there was division. In Mark chapter 9, verse 38, there's this crazy story. It says, "Teacher," said John. I love John. We're going to see him again in a minute. He says, "We saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." And Jesus says, "Don't stop him, you idiot." I feel like he would have said that. "Don't stop him." Jesus said, "For no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us." See, even before the church began, Jesus' squad goals were actually waning. They were actually not living up to the squad he'd hoped to have. They were seeing people do effective things in the name of Jesus, and they were like, "But they're not one of us. So let's stop them. They don't fit into this mold. They weren't with us when we did that, or we don't do this thing." And they said, "We're going to just stop good work in the world. We're going to stop it in its tracks because, well, we're not quite sure about it." And we see this happening time and time again in the church, where that church or this church is defaming or tearing down what someone else is doing. And Jesus says, no. Let me help you understand something. If they're not against us, they're for us. Whoever does something good in my name cannot be stopped. And I love the language that Jesus uses. If you notice, he says, if they're not against us, they're for us. He doesn't say if they're not for us, they're against us. He doesn't make the qualifier that they're actually aligned in with every little thing and that we're with us in the room when we made this decision or tackled the strategy. No, he says if they're not against us, they're for us. And Jesus is stopping this division in its tracks. And he's saying, "Look, I hate to break it to you, but I know that you're like my 12, and I'm going to use you. Don't worry. But I'm going to use a whole lot of other people. There's going to be a lot of people outside of you that I'm going to do good work through. And you are meant to be connected in spirit, connected in heart, connected under my name." And so we as a church, we want to say we are locked arms in solidarity with every church under the name of Jesus. That we believe the best work that we can do in the world is when we do it together, not alone. That we are meant to change human history together. We never use language, "They're not one of us." It is not language that we use. Jesus says, "By the way, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. By your connection to, by your championing of each other, it will be evidence that you are my disciples." You know what the biggest cause of atheism in the world is? Us. Our division. Our dysfunction, our separation, our distinctions, our congregations, our denominations, all of these things, these IONs are bad things. If it's a chun, run from it. And Jesus is trying to make sure that we know that we are united in this, that we are not alone, that it isn't just about us or we, it's about the big C church. There's another story that I want to end with where I think it will give us some tangible things that we can hang on to about what it means to both be a friend and to have a friend. You know, on Palm Sunday is the day when Jesus had his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. He was declaring a new kind of kingdom. He was declaring that he was of a different way. And it's an amazing story, and there's so much there, and I preached on it a couple years ago, and I love it. I almost gave that sermon again today just because there's so much significance in what happened on Palm Sunday. But I think what's interesting is if you see what happens on Palm Sunday, like Martha talked about. They were singing Hosanna. They were celebrating him as he was coming in. They call it the triumphal entry of Jesus. He had many people singing his praise. He had more than just his 12. He had grown from his 12 to a crowd. He had grown from his 12 to a big group that was like, yeah, our hope is in you. But in a matter of a week, it went from the whole city cheering him on. And when you get to Friday and Jesus is on the cross, it is disheartening to see who is at the cross, because it isn't his squad. Now, Matthew says they all peaced out. It got tough. It got difficult. It got hard. And they bailed. You think ride or die, right? You got your 12. You got your squad. You got your posse. We're going to march through life together. You got your friends. Ride or die. You're my buddy. You're my homie. You're my whatever. And when thick and thin comes, you'll find out who your true friends are. But the reality is we got a lot of thin relationships. Thin is easy. Thin is a like. Thin is a text back. Thin is a thing, but thick. That's another level. We say thick and thin, but we have so many thin friends. We have a few thick friends. And I think what we see here when Jesus is on the cross is that this was true for him, as true as it is for us. Now, I love John, because John is the one disciple who gave himself a nickname. By the way, if you've ever given yourself a nickname, stop. See, I work as a fireman, and on the fire department, there is a thing where you get, everyone's got a nickname. I won't even tell you all 10 of mine, but you are never supposed to make your own nickname. When there's a few dudes that make their own nickname, like, hey, dude, my name's such and such, call me Big Z. You're like, no, bro, no. You can't give yourself a nickname. That's like the rules of nicknames. But John gave himself a nickname. I love it. He said, I am the one Jesus loves. I love it. I love it. All the disciples, some of them have nicknames, you know, and Son of Thunder and Simon the Zealot. There's all these cool nicknames. And he's like, the one Jesus loves. That's who I am. But as you get to the point where Jesus is at the cross and you start looking for who is, when Jesus is on the cross, you start looking for who's at the cross, and you take roll call, it's like, Bartholomew! Silence. Simon! Silence. Andrew! Peter! Oh, Peter. It's like Bueller. John! Here. In John 19:25, it says, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. Now, I love that it does not record one word that his mother spoke, but it says that she stood there with him. I think so many times we confuse being loud with being loyal. We think the most loud people in our lives are ones who are like, I'm with you. Peter says, I'll never deny you. No way, not three times. I'll be there forever. John just kind of in secret was like, I'm the one that Jesus loves. But he never declared he'd be there. His mom didn't have promised him, I'm going to be there. It doesn't say what she said. It says that she stood there with him. And I think what you and I need the most in our lives are not people who are loud or full with words, but we need people who will stand with us. And I think that there are times and moments in our lives where it gets thick, or it gets heavy, where it gets difficult, and you are at a loss for words because there simply are no words to step into the things that you were meant to step into, but you aren't supposed to say anything about it. You're just supposed to stand. You're supposed to stand. And I think so many times we mess this up. I mean, I love that it says his mom was there. In fact, my mom is here this morning, and we could clap my mom up. I mean, you want to get real? I mean, most of us, we have family drama. We got family issues, and there are most of us, we have families that we're thin with or that we're thick with. And I'll just be honest right now. Our family, we're all about thick. We go thick together. We can get thick done. We just got thick done a few months ago, where we had a family emergency, and we rolled in, and we were like the Calvary, and it was amazing. But we don't do thin well. We need to get better at thin, Mom. We need to have relationships past emergencies. There are friends in your lives that you need thick and thin, ride or die. But here's the issue. I think so many times you feel like you need everyone with you in your crisis. You don't need everyone with you in your crisis. You just need someone. But the reality is like when you ask somebody, how you doing? They don't care. And you don't care. You don't care. You hope they don't answer. Especially if they're in the thick of life. You don't got time for that. And don't judge them. You're the same way. You don't have time. You don't have time for everyone's crisis. You don't have time for everyone's chaos. Nor does everyone have time for you. When you are through the thick, when you are on the cross of life, when you are in the crucible, you don't need everyone. You just need someone. And the story goes on to say that not only was his mother there and three other Marys. It says when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Now, this is where Jesus is different from us, right? Jesus is in the crisis of his own life. He is on the cross, and he's worried about making sure they're taking care of each other. He's looking to Mary, and he's looking to John. He's like, take care of each other. Be with each other. I'm telling you, if I'm Jesus, I'm on the cross. I'm not thinking about John. I'm mad at Peter. Don't even get me started on Judas. Right? We don't have the same kind of capacity that Jesus would have. Well, he's dying on the cross, and he's worried about you two taking care of each other. But I think what we can see here is that Jesus didn't have everyone, not even the 12 that he had, his life of his ministry. He didn't have everyone, but he had someone. You need someone in your life. You need that 2 a.m. friend. You need that person who you can call. You don't need a crowd. You need a companion. You don't even need like this huge sea of people. You need a tight-knit community. And what we believe here at Makers Church is that we are going to give our lives to making spaces and environments and places where you can find those friendships here. Where there is this intersection between this vertical connection with God and this horizontal relationship with each other. And it's in the middle of that intersection where you are meant to live. And if you don't have that person, if you don't have the one who would be standing there with you, we believe, come hell or high water, you can find that person here. And that we're going to move you towards that. I think sometimes we miss those that are with us because we're upset with those who left us. Some of you are so infatuated with this, you even have apps that tell you who unfollowed you and followed you on Instagram. You're mad about a friend who unfollowed you, but you ain't even understanding and aware of the friend that's been standing there with you all along in silence. And some of the people that you resent the most are the ones you left. Jesus should have been mad at Judas, but Jesus needed Judas. See, Judas wasn't at the cross, but Judas was the one that got Jesus to the cross. I think sometimes we miss the fact that in our lives that there are people who are going to get us to the place that we need to get, where God is going to use that relationship, even in its brokenness, to bring you wholeness. And I want to end with this. 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command, anyone who loves God also love their brother and sister." I want to be clear about something. The greatest pain and the greatest pleasure of your life is going to come through this human relationship. The miracle of God is all around you. Look around. Behold the miracle. When you can move into a relationship with someone else, when you could get past your own greed and your own need and your own jealousy and your own dysfunction and step into life with each other, it is proof that you have received love, because you need to receive love before you can give love. And Jesus says, if you think you can just love me and not love each other, you're a liar. And so what God is inviting us into is to a life of communion, a life where we commune deeply with each other, and a life where we commune deeply with God. See, God is so relational that he even expresses himself in three people. That's how relational God is. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He is a vibrant and unique and life-giving relationship in and of himself. And he longs to give us that. And God said that he would come for us, that he would send his son Jesus to live a perfect and sinless life, to walk amongst this earth with his dysfunctional posse, to go to the cross and die on our behalf, to be beaten and brutalized and dehumanized and hang on the cross, even when none of his buddies showed up, so that he could die and conquer death, be raised again so that we could have life. And what the scriptures say is that the gospel, the good news of who Jesus is, it isn't just lip service. It isn't just words. It's evidenced by the way that we would love each other. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we are so grateful that you would come for us, that you would provide an example for us of what it means to walk this life, not only being connected to God the Father, but to each other. And God, I believe that there are people in this room with great need and great deficit. God, some people in here have been all about you, saying, Jesus, you're all I need, but you're making them aware this morning, God, that you alone cannot provide the need, the intersection that they need with other humans. God, you designed us for each other. You declared it was not good for us to be alone. And so, God, I pray for anybody in this room that is lonely, God, that through the miracle of this community, God, that you would provide friendship and a home where they know they belong. But God, I believe that there are some people in this room that have never connected to you. They might exist in a great crowd. They might have crowds of friends, but no true companion. They may have crowds of friends, but no true connection to the very source of love and life, which is you, Jesus. So God, this morning I pray that you'd move in those hearts. God, that you would uncover our greatest needs so that we can address them and step into our greatest life. If you're here this morning and you've never made a connection to Jesus, never made him Lord of your life, you don't even maybe know exactly what that means, but you can feel the Spirit of God moving in your heart and you just know something needs to shift. If you want to invite Jesus into your heart, if you just raise your hand, I'd love to pray with you. Just now, as the Holy Spirit's moving, you feel a prompting in your spirit. If that's you, just raise your hand real quick. I'd love to pray with you. Now's the time. God, we thank you, Lord, for those who have raised their hands. If that's you, just say, Jesus, I give you my life. It's that simple. Jesus, I give you my life. That's the beginning of a lifelong journey that will change everything. It's not meant to happen alone. It's meant to happen together. We want you to know that this is your home. This is where you belong. We are your posse. We are your tribe. We are your squad. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hey guys, we have our prayer team available in the back, to your back right. And they would love to pray with you wherever you're at. Maybe you're here and you need to connect deeper with Jesus, or maybe you need to just go honestly tell them, I need a friend. We got a lot of friends here. We can find friends. Maybe you have something going on in your life. Our prayer team would love to pray with you. We believe our God is a victorious God, that he can handle any need that you have. He's done it once. He'll do it again.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.